This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you as live as it can be, and we are live from Honolulu, Hawaii, overlooking Greater Oahu. The lead stories are SpaceX to launch the Crew Dragon capsule this coming Saturday. We're going to talk about a new ban on lithium batteries, which I thought was already into effect. We're going to talk about YouTube and changing their policy on kids on YouTube. Winter is coming. For some of you, winter is actually almost over. And something new from Amazon Prime. Of course, lots and lots more stories as well. I want to welcome you to episode 1350 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, February 28th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You too can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider. Hey, I want to give everyone a warm welcome. Thanks for checking out the show. Those of you that are joining us on Facebook, make sure you say hello. Hello, Nick. Hello, Michael. Welcome, everyone. Thanks for being on. And there's some other folks in there too, so make sure you say hello. But for all of you that are listening or watching the show via podcast, thanks for staying subscribed and being part of the family. If you're brand new, to the show, the most important thing you can do right now is immediately go over to geeknewscentral.com. And when you're on there, all you got to do is subscribe to the show. That's the most important function that you can do today as a new Ohana member. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, on Android, the email, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, and even use the RSS feed if you've got an old school podcatcher. If you have no idea what I'm talking about on how to subscribe to the show, click on the more subscribe options. While you're on the website, make sure you sign up for the newsletter. Newsletter contains everything I'm going to talk about during the show today with all the links. The same exact information is on the website as well at geeknewscentral.com. So you will never miss a single episode if you do those two things today. And of course, for all of you that are longtime listeners and viewers, again, thanks for being here. And as a reminder, you can watch the show on your Apple TV. Just search for Geek News Central. You can listen on blueberry.com. You can listen on your any smart home device just by using the keyword to launch that device and say, play the podcast, Geek News Central. Of course, we are live on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Mixer, and wherever else. I think I was counting it up tonight. We're on 7 different streams. We're on live stream as well, all simulcast at the same time. But if you want to really get excited, you should join our chat room at geeknews.chat. Join our Mastodon chat server. Be part of the Ohana. Or if you don't like to hang out in chat rooms, you can be part of our Slack family and be a Slacker. All you got to do is email me geeknews@gmail.com to be part of that as well. Of course, you can contact me, geeknews@gmail.com, or on Twitter at geeknews. Of course, follow me on Facebook as well. That's a great way to stay connected. And of course, our partner shows, all of those are listed at geeknewscentral.com, include the GNC Week in Review, The Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain, the Pro Gear Site written by my great writing team, the New Media Show, which I co-host with Mr. Rob Greenlee, and of course, the Podcast Legend Show. All those links are available at geeknewscentral.com. Don't forget to come over to the website on a regular basis. Our writing team is putting out great content, stuff there for you to morsel on when I'm not doing the show. But of course, you can always pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. We want to thank our sponsor, which of course is GoDaddy.com, for being the longest continuous sponsor of a podcast. They started sponsoring the show in June of 2005. And you too can save money at GoDaddy. All you got to do is go over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And the deals continue. Whether it be 30% off a new product purchase, whether it be $1 a month economy hosting for the first year with a free domain, or $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year with a free domain. $12 gets you in the door. The domain value alone is $849. That's a $3.51 hosting plan. It's a great deal. Of course, if you have never picked up a .com on me, you can use my 99-cent promo code as well. So that's an option for you. For your business owners out there, 1 month free trial of GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal, business, or business plus plans. Many of you have been using GoDaddy products and services for many, many years. But what you can do to help the show out is tell your family, friends, people that you know, people that you work with to share my codes. Tell your coworkers, if you hear someone talking about doing an online site, hey, tell them you got a deal. You know this dude. And this dude has some codes, and his codes will save him or her some money. And definitely check that out. Of course, we're going to be getting into, you know, where we're going to have to start thinking ahead, right? Valentine's Day is behind us. And what's in forward? Mother's and Father's Day. So you can make your mom a website. It'd be kind of cool, right? Scan some pictures, put up a little thing for her, make it private. You know, there's all kinds of ideas you can do. So don't forget, that's something that is exciting. And especially if you're paying the bill and they get to use it. That's the best. But again, share the codes, link to the website. Every time you do, that's almost like an in-kind donation to the podcast. And we want to thank GoDaddy for being a sponsor. We'll let you know how we have done for the month of February. I'll get my total sometime next week. It's always in great anticipation because I'm always going like, can I still pay the electric bill? But I'm sure we're going to come through fine. But I do want to thank all of you for ongoing support of the sponsor. It is truly what makes it possible for me to do what I do here in a big, big way. Allows my family to eat, pay the insurance, all that stuff. All right. So it's truly important. But again, thank you so much for your support of the sponsor. Okay. Just real quick here before we get into the stack of stuff. Hey, Danny Hines, what are you doing up here? So late. Dan is a good friend of mine, prior Navy shipmate. Dan now works in, he works in New York City. I won't say who he works for, but he works for a very big financial firm. He's done very well for himself. Thanks for joining, Dan. And of course, again, Michael and Nick, thanks for joining on as well. And of course, too, Dan, you got some cute kids and a beautiful wife as well. So anyway, everyone, welcome to the show. So what's going on? I'm packed. I'm ready. I head out tomorrow. For those of you that are podcasters are going to Orlando, I get there early. I've got meetings. So I'm getting in Saturday. I'm going to miss the big SpaceX launch by about 4 hours, which sucks. If I'd have known, if I'd paid attention, I'd probably left this morning. So I could have got in and at least drove down to the Cape and got to see the launch. But the big SpaceX launch is Saturday at 2:39 a.m. Eastern. And we'll talk more about that in a few seconds. But anyway, I'm pretty much caught up here. That's rare. I mean, really rare. I had to talk with the accountant. I'm like, are we good? You got everything? I'm coming back in 10 days and we'll have my taxes ready, my business taxes. She said, they'll be ready. If I have questions, I'll call you. So that is kind of like, whew, that's done. I did, when I went down to Australia, I took my GoPro with me and I've never been really overly impressed with the GoPro audio. And there's just some places it works well and some places it doesn't. It doesn't work good in buses. I figured that out. The rumble from the bus. So I've got some great clips. So I'm going to work on a video from the trip to Australia, back up with some music or something. Give you guys kind of like a 30 or 40 minute just quick tour of Sydney and what we saw while we were down there. This last couple of days has been, the last 24 hours has been interesting because yesterday, late in the afternoon, Apple dropped this email on all podcasters saying, hey, here's some of our title and episode guidelines and author guidelines. And oh, by the way, if you don't remove episode numbers from your titles, we're going to essentially, they were cautioning podcasters that they risk being delisted from iTunes. It was like immediate furry of sales, support tickets. Mike said, I think he got like 40 in the first hour. I put out posts on our social explaining what to do to be ready for this. And everyone's been kind of grumbling in this mild panic for the past, truly last 24 hours. And then just like 3 hours ago, Apple says, oh, hold on. We're not going to delist anyone if you have episode numbers in your titles, in your episode titles. Don't worry. I think the wording in their initial email was less than stellar, and they got some immediate feedback. So heat's off, but everyone went into panic mode. At least a lot of people did, those that were paying attention. Some people probably had no clue that that even came out, but we'll be, Mike and I will be talking about that on your podcast tomorrow morning, which is going to be released on Monday. So you kind of get our insight on that. Should be a fun show. Anyway, that's it. I got to get you caught up what's going on here. Anyway, we'll get into the tech, get into the stack of stuff. Everyone's up late. Why are you guys up so late? Daryl, hey, everyone. Thanks for coming on. And nice to see everyone on the show. All right. So what's the deal? I kind of hinted at it here a little bit, but SpaceX has got their a really crucial launch. And boy, if they blow this one up, it's not going to bode well. But SpaceX is set to launch their Crew Dragon capsule. They're going to have a crash test dummy inside it. No humans. And about 400 pounds of cargo. They're going to punch it up at like 2:49 Eastern. They're going to about 24 hours of doing maneuvers, and then they are going to dock. This isn't this capsule is designed to go up there and not have to be grabbed by the Canadian arm. It's designed to just like the Soyuz capsules, is to power itself in and dock, and they're going to spend, it's going to spend 5 days on the station, and then they're going to bring it home. They're going to bring it home and capture it as it splashes down the Atlantic. NASA wants to see the parachutes in their full glory as it re-enters and all that stuff. So some exciting times here for SpaceX. The next flight will be, and this is going to be awesome, they're going to do an actual launch where the they're going to test the emergency egress system. So they're purposely going to get it to a certain altitude. They're going to shut the motors off on the Dragon and blow the lid. And they're going to basically do the emergency egress test. So that's going to happen in a couple of months. And then in July, we may see two men actually take their first inaugural flight in Crew Dragon. And they'll go to the International Space Station, stay there 5 days, and then and bring it home. So I'm excited. It's, you know, finally we're getting close to being out of the clutches of the Soviets. We're paying $81 million or something like that a year for servicing. I don't know what the contract is to SpaceX and the other companies out there racing to be, capable of crewed flight. But Elon Musk has got his act together. Of course, he's in a little bit of trouble. I could never ever be a CEO of a public company, because you're under so much SEC rules on what you can and can't say. And, you know, you can really get yourself in deep really, really quick. It would be very tough. I think it'd just be tough because, you know, you're excited about what's going on and, you know, you tweet something and you busted an SEC rule and he's in trouble. He's in trouble again for tweeting something he shouldn't. So, private company. It's good. I can say what I want to say. And then I just take heat from my team in the back end. But, anyway, they continue to move the bar here, but lots of stories today about, SpaceX, Tesla, et cetera. They're in the news. And we'll have some deeper analysis as we move on. All right, the FAA today, and I didn't really know that this wasn't already a ban, but the FAA said, it was the Department of Transportation, and the FAA issued new rules designed to protect passengers from potential dangers of lithium-ion batteries. the new interim final rule disallows lithium ion cells and batteries in the cargo area of passenger planes. That's been the case for a while. Most, you know, I fly United a lot, well, mostly exclusively, and they haven't allowed lithium ion in the baggage for a long, long time. The final rule disallows lithium ion cells and batteries in the cargo area of passenger airplanes. The rule also sets new guidance for lithium ion batteries for travel on cargo carrying planes. Specifically, they not exceed a state of being 30% charged. That's an issue here. I can't order batteries off Amazon and have them shipped in. It's very difficult. So this has been the deal for a while. And for me, you know, when I go to events and I have multiple cameras and everything packed away, I'm like carrying like half a bag of lithium ion batteries on the plane with me. In matter of fact, my roll bag, and I have a place where I stuff all the batteries in the back. And I don't know what's more safe for them, to be in a Pelican case in the cargo hold or in my roller bag where my computer is and I've got 25 batteries in it. But if you've been putting stuff in your luggage, don't do it. You know, I have a tendency from time to time to slip a laptop, spare laptop in a suitcase. That's no at this point. But, you know, we're not really changing our behavior, but this is, I guess, just an official rule. So anyway, heads up for you if you're doing any traveling and if you haven't had to take batteries out of stuff that you've checked already. You can still check your electronics. You just got to carry the batteries on. Next up, YouTube. YouTube is disabling. Now, check that. This is significant. YouTube is disabling comments on almost all videos featuring children. Only a few select channels will have comment section enabled. And this is following a controversy over predatory comments being posted on videos of children by, quite frankly, individuals that probably need to be have a knife taken to them. YouTube will temporarily remove comments from videos that feature minors in the coming months. Only a select few channels with children will be allowed. These channels will be required to actively moderate their comments beyond just using our moderation tools, and they must demonstrate a low risk of predatory behavior. YouTube also said it's launched a better algorithm, dun dun dun, to let it automatically identify and remove predatory comments. The classifier is more sweeping in scope, according to a blog post, and will catch up to twice as many predatory comments from individuals. I still have yet to find the source article on what was going on, but from everything I've been able to figure out was that pedophiles were coming on and making lewd and rude comments about children in YouTube videos. And that's what they're trying to stop. YouTube said last week it had deleted tens of millions of comments and removed more than 400 channels associated with writing predatory comments on videos starring minors. And YouTube also sought to clear up confusion around how those changes will impact creators' ability to run ads. YouTube said none of this will affect creators' monetization. Ha ha ha. And this was a concern among YouTubers as the controversy arose along the comments being weaponized against creators. So if you have any kids and videos on YouTube, no one's going to be able to comment on them. It's going to be disavowed. So it'll be interesting to see how they make this work. So if I have my son in a YouTube video with me, then I would assume that YouTube is just going to automatically detect there's a minor in the video. How they're going to do that, that's a good question, and shut off comments. So it's an interesting approach. I think they're throwing the fire hose at it this time because it's costing them money, lots of money. Advertisers are pulling out. Hey, Daryl, thanks for joining me tonight on the live show. So anyway, that's what's going on with YouTube, and I guess it was a big enough problem that they had to act. All right, Game of Thrones. Winter is coming to Twitter with new Game of Thrones characters, art, and emojis. The 8th and final season starts shortly. You know, and I've cut the cord. And my wife badgered me to the point where I turned on YouTube TV for her so that she could at least have local news. And I'm keeping track. I think she's watched it 3 times. So at the end of the month, I'm gonna be like, honey, that was, you watched the news 3 times. That was $13 each time you watch the news. So we'll see. But with YouTube TV, I was able to get Showtime and one other Stars or something. But I'm going to have to turn on, I'm going to have to pay for HBO because I'm not going to miss the Game of Thrones. And this is going to be an exciting finalization to the series. And we'll see how many people get killed. I've never read the book series, so I don't know who gets slaughtered next. But I think there's going to be plenty of blood and gore. We'll see who's left at the end of it. I think we can kind of guess who's going to be left. But anyway, it's going to be exciting to see what HBO has come up with here in with the Game of Thrones and Winter's Coming. I'm excited. Are you guys excited? It's been a long time. A long time coming. It really, really has. So Amazon announced today that Amazon Prime members can choose a weekly delivery date with the launch of what's called Amazon Day. So again, you're going to be able to control when orders arrive. I like this because not everyone's home all the time. And some people are living in areas where packages are getting ripped off, or they have to use a place where something's dropped and they have to go to that place and get it. So they're trying to also reduce the number of deliveries that drivers have to make. And to give you an example, I came home after being on travel all this time and I couldn't find nary a Cable One for Apple charging cable. Between my kids and my wife, there was nothing left. They had picked the office clean. And I was irritated about this much because I had broke one cable and I needed another. So I thought, all right, I see how this is. So I have an ungodly number of regular non-Apple cables. And so I have a cabinet here in the office that I can lock up. So I took every single cable, every single one that I could find that wasn't directly tied to a charger, and I put it in that locker and I locked it up. Then I went online on Amazon and I ordered six new Apple cables. And that came in on Wednesday, and I pulled one out and I stuck the other two in the cabinet, and then I waited. Well, I'll finish the story about how this relates to the Amazon Prime scheduled delivery date. Well, little did I know, my wife was irritated about not being able to find a cable, so she'd ordered one the following day, or a package of them, and then something else. So we had like Amazon, 3 days in a row. Well, you know it's cost them money because they're shipping to Hawaii, shipping a little $12 item, and it's probably cost them $4 to ship the stupid thing. So it's smart that they're deciding when they allow people to bulk orders together and save on delivery fees. Well, that's cool, but let's go back to my little story. So again, I've scoured the office and stuffed all the cables I had that were non-Apple. I mean, you know, regular USB, the little mini types. And so my son comes walking in here and he's like, I need a cable. I'm like, what kind of cable do you need? And he said, oh, I need a regular USB cable. So I went over to my locker and he's looking at me. I unlocked the padlock and it opened up. I said, one of these? And he said, yep. I said, $3. And he's looking at me like, Dad, you got plenty. $3. I said, you guys stole all my cables out of here while I was gone. $3, please. Dad, I'm like, put it back in the locker. And I started to put the lock back on. And he grumbled off. He went to his room, came back, gave me $3. Daughter came in yesterday. Hey, where's all the Apple cables at? I'm like, well, good story. You need one? Yeah, you got one? Sure. Went to the locker, pulled it up. $6, please. What? She's screaming at me. What? $6? I'm like, yep, $6. And I get to look, you know, and I'm like, hey, I'm paying for them. You guys are stealing them. You know, it's my money. $6. Same look. Off she went, got her wallet, came back, gave me $6, give her cable. Ladies and gentlemen, I have found the way in your homes to stop the rampant stealing of charging cables. All right? That's what you do. You put in a little stock, and when someone comes in and wants one, you charge them for it. I absolutely guarantee you those cables will start to last a lot longer. And if they do lose them, so what? You add a dollar surcharge to every cable, and then you've got, you know, a little profit to go and order the next batch. So anyway, that's my stupid story related around Amazon deliveries. And my wife's always ordering like little things, you know, $3 here, $4 there, you know, and I'm like, oh, I know they lose money on us big time. We've talked many, many, many times, switching topics here. We've talked many, many times on this show about robots and the record number of robots joining the workforce. And, you know, anyone that has grown up around car country know what devastation robots had to, you know, workers that build cars. But a record number of robots, 35,880 units were shipped to North American companies in 2018, according to a statistic by the Robotics Industry Association. Nearly half of the robots went to non-automotive companies, including areas like food and consumer goods, plastic and rubber, life science, and electronics. Now, as I indicated, the automotive industry has always led the way in implementing robotics here in North America, but now into other industries are coming to realize the benefits of automation. So, automotive industry shipments have slowed. They only had 19,178 units in 2018, a decrease of 12%, compared with 21,732 units shipped in 2017. Now, it's still over 50%, but just like the trucking business, it's going to change. We know it's going to change. The robotics industry is going to grow. Robots can work 24/7, but they need people to fix them, supply them, all that stuff. So robotics still seems to me, at least, to be a strong field to be considered. And a lot of the robotics technicians do not need college degrees. They need a little background in electronics. They have to have some background in maybe hydraulics, be handy and with tools and be able to repair things. So, obviously programming them to make them work probably takes a little more education, but fixing them is going to be a big, big business out there. So, don't beat them, join them. All right. We talk about the music industry here a lot. We haven't had an opportunity to bash the RIAA in quite a while. I love to, you know, they're my favorite company to really not talk nice about. But according to Variety, the U.S. music industry posts a third straight year of double-digit growth as streaming soars 30%. The report notes in 2018, and of course this was a report that was obtained from the RIAA in their year-end revenue report, notes that music revenue rose 12% to the highest level in 10 years at $9.8 billion, up from $8.8 billion the previous year, but still below the 2007 $10.7 billion peak. This was largely due to a boost in paid music subscriptions, which rose 42% to $50.2 million and $35.3 million the previous year. So streaming, everyone is streaming. But what's amazing here is that U.S. music fans are throwing more money at vinyl and CDs, check this out, than iTunes downloads now. Because everyone has, you're paying that monthly subscription to get access to Apple Music, and you're largely, your libraries that you've collected over the years are going largely untouched because, guess what? You can access to it 24/7 just via playlist. Even though I don't think it's as perfect as having your own aggregated music collection. And I have a significant one myself. As a matter of fact, I've got boxes and boxes and boxes and boxes and boxes of vinyl back in Michigan from my DJ days, long, many, many years ago. And these are all, you know, 80s, 80s 12-inch singles and stuff like that. But vinyl is still, right now, is, you know, it's the cool, you know, the cool kids have vinyl. I just wish I wouldn't have sold those decks that I had years ago. But How the Mighty Have Fallen. Digital downloads typified by the 99-cent iTunes tracks that ruled the music industry as recently as 4 years ago. 4 years ago, now makes less money for U.S. labels than CDs and vinyl records. Downloads represent just 11% of U.S. label revenue last year. That's amazing. Physical sales, the term for music formats you can actually hold on to, you don't have to pay a reoccurring fee for, book 12%. Instead, of course, streaming music is taking up the rest. And it wasn't that long ago that digital demands and streaming stood on equal footing. Only 3 years, a big shift. 3 years ago, it was 34 and 34. Think about that for a second. So, but they've won. The music folks have won because, you know, most people no longer own a whole repertoire. They're going to spend more money over their lifetime paying for live streaming music on Spotify, Pandora, or Apple Music, or Google Music, or whoever. They're going to spend more in their lifetime than they will have ever spent on actual music. I think when I was at my peak in buying vinyl, I was probably spent, of course, it was part of my business too, being, and really not a business. It was, you know, I had DJed for fun, but I was probably spending $200 a week on vinyl a week. Now, that was a few short years, but I had to have new music, going into clubs, doing what I was doing. And no one spends that kind of money on music these days. Even an average person back then might buy an album or two a month, right? And, you know, so maybe, I don't know, maybe it's still there, maybe $30, $40 before. I don't know. You guys remember how much you were spending on vinyl or CDs or 8-tracks or cassettes or whatever was your poison at your time of life when you're buying a lot of music? Do you think it's better that you can rent now? Is renting and streaming better than having your own collection? It's more convenient, that's for sure. I look forward to when I get back to Michigan to be able to unpackage all my vinyl. Maybe I'll set something up, one of the sets, where there's a lot of vinyl. We're not doing a music show. I'm not doing that. And to make a good prop, maybe, right? So anyway, interesting information out of the music business. Here in Hawaii, rent is crazy. But I think San Francisco's got its beat. San Francisco's rent hits a new peak of $3,690 per month. That's, listen to this, the median price for a one-bedroom apartment. One bedroom, $3,690. Not only are those figures that did not make your bank account cringe, but they're nearly 30% higher than New York City and more than double the prices in Miami. And of course, Amazon and Microsoft's hometown of Seattle rang in at 1970, and Washington, D.C. hit 2150. If you, you know, it depends on where you...
Snippet from CurrentResults.com that my...
That was the Microsoft Cortana device. It lost its mind. Something I said triggered it. Anyway, so that's crazy money. It's crazy, but they make crazy, crazy cash. At least in New York City, the majority of people that work in Manhattan can afford to live, you know, in the boroughs or, you know, very, I don't think a lot of people can actually afford to live in Manhattan, but, well, they do, but they live in shoeboxes, right? So, but still, $36.90. That's insane. Imagine if you own a couple of properties there and were rental. You'd be like, you retire just on the rental money alone. So it's not surprising. Here in Hawaii, I think you can get a one bedroom near Waikiki studio, not very, very big, for like $2,000, $1,700 to $2,000. The farther you get away from Honolulu proper or Waikiki proper, the price goes down, but not that much. $300-$400 down. But you know, out here where I live, houses are running for $3,200, $3,300, maybe $3,400, depends how big your house is. So that's not including utilities. So it's still crazy. You know, I've told you guys many, many times, my note on my house is just below $3,000. So still cheaper than renting, believe it or not, if you're going to have a house. Amazon has stopped selling the Dash buttons. They were pretty goofy, weren't they? I never fully understood it. Some people loved them. But Amazon has stopped selling the Dash buttons because of the connected home. Who needs Dash buttons when your printer buys its own ink? Mine doesn't. My printer doesn't do that. It beeps at me, tells me I need to order ink. Comcast did something pretty naughty, pretty stupid too. Comcast set Xfinity mobile pins to quad zip 0000 by default, leaving customers vulnerable to hacks. And of course, if you remember the famous iPhone X password of Kanye West of 0000000, but Comcast did this for all of its Xfinity mobile customers and left them vulnerable to identity theft. And there's some horror stories out there and some things that happened. So if you have an Xfinity mobile phone from Comcast, change the password. So that's crazy what they did. Comcast didn't really explain why 000 was the default pin to begin with. And it's advising users to use strong, unique passwords and enable multi-factor authentication. That's if you haven't already been hacked. All right. Oh, my goodness. Samsung is now preloading McAfee on all smart TVs. It's interesting. For the past few years, Samsung and McAfee have been broadening a strategic partnership to use McAfee software to secure various Samsung products. And the partnership expanded this year. According to Samsung, all of its smart TVs sold this year will use the McAfee security and ship with the software preloaded. You can remove that and uninstall it if you want. But they've had some issues with some apps. So maybe this is a smart way. I don't know how effective this scanner is on finding nefarious TV apps, but it's interesting that they're bundling it in because there has been a couple of instances out there where things have gotten loose within some of the television apps that are available for some of these TVs. Tesla appears to be feeling heat on its financials a little bit. They're going to be closing most of its stores and only sell cars online. Their quote-unquote story for this is, the story here is that they're trying to get around municipalities that have given them a hard time in selling in their areas. Michigan's been really difficult for Tesla. Of course, you know, the big three are there. They don't want another company coming in. But this is interesting move here. Elon Musk said he was confident that few customers would be, you know, bothered by this, and that they're going to have the ability where folks can return a car if they have the car for up to a week, they can return if they're not satisfied. And the move to e-commerce will help Tesla cut some operating expenses, rent and employees, as well as avoid dealing with local politics that have prevented it from operating its own stores in certain states, including Connecticut, New Mexico, and others. Tesla said it's going to keep some of its retail locations open, probably the high-profile ones, which the company described as a small number of stores and high-traffic locations remaining as gallery, showcasing, and Tesla information centers. Now, there's a Tesla store in the Ala Moana Mall here in Hawaii. It's beautiful. So I wonder if they're going to, it's high traffic, obviously. I wonder if they're going to pull the plug on that. I think I saw one in Vegas someplace too that was in a mall. But anyway, it looks like they're trying to save some cash. We've talked about phone hacking a lot over the years. And we may have even talked about this company before called Cellebrite, C-E-L-L-E-B-R-I-T-E. And Cellebrite was a supposed phone hacking device that law enforcement officials were using to extract data from phones. Well, some of their older units is popping up on eBay for as much as little as $100. Federal agencies in the U.S. and elsewhere, including FBI and Department of Homeland Security, typically spend up to $15,000 on current models of the Cellebrite Universal Forensic Extraction Device. That's a mouthful. The older versions, again, are starting to become available on the secondary market, and these older ones will only unlock older phones. One of the individuals that bought one over eBay, he said he was able to use it to access his Samsung LG ZTE and Motorola phones, and he was able to crack old iPhones and iPods, and he was actually able to dig around and find some information out of them, too. IMEI numbers, he thought there was probably graphics preloaded on these. So that, you know, typical government employee, they didn't erase these things before they sold them. But anyway, they're on eBay. Kind of cool to get one, yeah? I'm going to have to go shop around and look. I think it'd be cool just to have one to, you know, have it as a prop here in the office. Maybe have it attached to an old phone. I think it'd be kind of cool. So I may have to go do some searching. There's a company called Presto that's raised $30 million to bring its AI platform and tabletop ordering hardware to restaurant chains. And I have a feeling here, nothing is safe. If you think about it, last time I was in a, and this has been around for a while. It's not Applebee's. It's Olive Garden. I was in Olive Garden. And typically, when I'm on travel, I'll hit an Olive Garden maybe once on a trip. But I usually sit at the bar. I don't want to go sit in the like family dining area. And they'll have the little tablets that you can order your drinks and order your food from. I very rarely have ever used them because the bartender's been there and has taken my order. But these tabletop ordering systems, if you've ever been through like Jersey, through the airport in New Jersey, absolutely hate that airport, but you go to any restaurant and they're all of them have an iPad. You can order your food right from the table, pay for your food, et cetera. And so Presto is working with restaurants to update its 21st century dine-in experience. And what I thought was interesting here, now, if you think about this, restaurants have hired servers to take care of your table, come take your order, bring your food, refill your water, refill your iced tea, get a cocktail. And now they're going to regulate this to us pushing buttons. And I'm like, oh, shoot me in the head, right? And who are those that are looking at this? Well, if you're a server or you work at Applebee's, Red Lobster's, Denny's, Outback Steakhouse, they're all partnering with this Presto group. And what is this going to do? This is going to make it so that probably one wait staff can probably take care of 10 or 15 tables instead of five. So less employees, and probably because you're not going there and having an interaction with, maybe customers are not going to be inclined to leave as big a tip. So we'll see. We'll see if this starts to affect, if this automation starts to affect the number of employees they have and wait staff and these jobs that typically that college kids are going to school get, and if this becomes more widespread, it could start eliminating jobs in the digital age. Just order, and instead of looking at your phone for the first 5 minutes, you're on another tablet ordering food. Or better yet, let it just walk in the store and you preload the menu right on your phone. That's how you do it. But anyway, Presto got $30 million in investment. Good story on makeuseof.com. If you ever wonder why your battery life on your phone really goes to crap after the first couple of years, this is kind of a rundown. I think we all kind of know that as nerds here, repeated battery charging. The batteries only have so much life in them. And of course, all these phones are sealed now. So if you need a new battery, you got to send it back and lose your phone for a week or two. Or if you're lucky, depending on the company, maybe Apple, you can just get it replaced in the store. But a lot more thinner phones and a lot less battery life. And the companies aren't really going to do anything about it. Battery technology is not advancing very fast. And they know everyone's carrying external batteries in their bags or purses or in a side pocket or something. So any good article by makeuseof.com. Apple is, in my opinion, the absolute worst when it comes to voice to text. I'm just having played on lots of voice to text systems recently, not only through the computer, but on Android and on iOS. Google has hands down has Apple beat on voice to text. I mean, there's no competition. It's a hard win for Google. Well, Apple's realizing maybe they're behind everybody when it comes to Alexa and Google Assistant and a variety of different systems. So Apple's trying to implement shortcuts with Siri, and they're trying to catch up. And shortcuts now work with thousands of apps. And to be honest with you, I'm not even familiar with what these shortcuts do. Now, I know that you can say, hey, Siri, take a selfie. It'll do that. You can, because oftentimes I can't get the button. I'm just old. So much easier just to tell the device to take a picture, right? So they've announced that there's a series of new app integrations with what they're calling these Siri shortcuts. And everything from food delivery to looking up of definitions in Merriam-Webster dictionary, some features in Airbnb. And again, you're going to have to learn these shortcuts. And I'm like, okay, is each app going to teach me this? the GoPro, and I got it sitting back here. If you've got a GoPro, when it's on, I don't allow it to listen for commands when it's off because it eats the battery pretty quick. But when you turn your GoPro on, you can say, hey, GoPro, and give it about a dozen commands. And I've gotten 8 or 9 of those down pat because it just is real simple. Instead of having to fumble with it, you turn it on and you tell GoPro what to do. I like that function in GoPro, but it's because it's a tool that I'm using more. So I think what we'll all see with these shortcuts is that over time, maybe we'll start learning more of the shortcut codes and using them. But one thing's for sure, Apple has a long way to go and be able to do voice to text correctly. And it's so annoying because I'll be in my car and I have it sitting up on the holder and I'll get it. It'll read a text for me that came in and then I'll respond. And it gets like 3 out of 5 words right. And if it's on Bluetooth, it does even worse, especially if it's on your car Bluetooth. It's horrible. If I'm on earbuds, it does a little better. It just drives me insane. I don't know if your experience is not the same. I'm happy for you. Maybe I just can't speak clearly enough for it. That's probably the problem. But it just drives me crazy. It really, really does. Number one annoying thing about iOS for me. Sling TV deals. Save 40% off your first 3 months. For as low as $15 a month, you can enjoy one of Sling's live TV packages. So I don't know how many channels you get. The offer is more for new customers only. Applies only Sling's three basic tiers. That means you pay $15 per month for Sling Orange, $15 per month for Sling Blue, or $25 per month for the two combined. After your first 3 months, regular rates apply. What is the regular rate? $80? I have no idea. Any of you using Sling TV? You like it? They have a good selection of channels? Little BBC news here. New rules forcing broadband firms to reveal customers exactly how fast a new broadband service will be before they sign a contract. And that's something I'm doing here. Every week I'm checking my broadband speed. And I'm supposed to have 1 gig. And if it's not what I'm expecting, and I'm calling, I'm complaining. Because what happens is I'm noticing is that the speed is slow down. I'll call them back up. Slow down. Call them. It'll be back up. So I don't know if they're doing something to people that aren't paying attention, trying to get more out of the network in the neighborhood or not. But if you are in the UK, these new rules, are forcing broadband customers to reveal exactly how fast or slow, if you may want to define it that way, will be when you sign a contract. And I hope they make people maintain those speeds. And so anyway, that's what's going on for those of you that are in the UK. The Google is gotten some questions asked. Google must provide details on Nest microphone error. U.S. senators have written to Google asking for more details about the revelations of the hidden microphone that had been built into its Nest devices. Of course, we know that these microphones are in there when it was revealed that by a Google announcement that it would enable voice-activated features on the Home Alarm product. So now senators are asking questions about this. And these devices are all listening all the time. I'm just telling you, they have to be. As much coincidence as I see in advertising being presented to me, when there's no way anyone knew any other way that I was thinking about a particular product. BlackBerry is going after Twitter for patent infringement. They can't succeed in the phone business, so they're going to go and litigate upon all of the patents they have. This is a pretty typical play here. So we'll see how many did they file? They filed six IP, and basically they sued Twitter for six IP infringements. So we'll see where this leads and maybe put a little pocket in the ever-failing BlackBerry. Chrome has a new cache that will speed up your back button. So this makes sense. I don't know why this wasn't the case before, but have you ever been on a page and said, oh, I need to go back and hit the back button, and it takes the same amount of time to load the page as it did when you first landed on it? Well, they're changing that. They are going to cache the page that you were just on so that when you back up, it loads almost instantly. Say 19% of pages viewed were because people were going back and forward. I think sometimes people go back when they're on commerce sites or something and get stuck. Which is always scary because you're worried about getting double charged on something. But anyway, a little information from Google on making your browsing experience better. Google Clock can now wake you up with the music from YouTube or Pandora. So, supposedly Google made the business of getting out of bed morning an altogether more pleasant affair. No, when my alarm goes off at 4:30, it's still and it's not a pleasant affair, and I really don't want to wake up to music. Do you guys like, what do you guys like to wake up to? Music or the beep, beep, beep? For me, the beep, beep, beep's annoying enough that I get out of bed. If it was music, I'd probably lay in there and listen. But if you're using this, you can now integrate, okay? Disney is reportedly wants to buy AT&T's stake in Hulu. So if it convinces AT&T to sell to Disney, Disney will own 70% of the streaming platform. Disney's worried. That's why they're taking all their content down and putting it in their own platform. They want to control the medium and soak another $9 or $10 out of us a month. You know, that's, they want to take it off Netflix. They want to take it off Amazon Prime. They want to put it in their own stack and pull you back in and make money that way. So if Disney does end up owning most of Hulu, the media giant might be more inclined to invest even bigger in the platform. With its deep pockets and vast collection of intellectual properties, Hulu could gain a more diverse amount of content and really go against and battle against rivals like Netflix. But I'm telling you, Netflix has got a little bit of a head start. We'll see. We'll see where this leads. All right, last couple of articles here tonight. They're trying to save the deal. And who's that? That's New York. Governor Andrew Cuomo, who was, you know, basically smashed over the head because of a certain representative's fight to get Amazon the heck out of the company, is working intensely behind the scenes. And I think it involves scratching Jeff Bezos's ass. He wants him to come back to New York. He wants to salvage the deal. You know, with Bezos liking to, you know, send selfies of himself. I don't even want to go there. But Cuomo wants the deal to go through. The executives also learned of an open letter being arranged by the publication, The New York Times, supposed to be out tomorrow, urging Mr. Bezos, the company's chief executive, to reverse course again and build the campus in Long Island City and Queens. Now, here's what I'm going to tell Amazon. Tell New York to beep, beep, beep. Tell New York to pack sand and go to the Midwest, go to states that appreciate businesses coming in. Go to states where the populace appreciates $100,000 plus jobs. You know, there's plenty of states that will say me, and it will attract high quality workers and be able to hire people in the community that can support those jobs. Tell New York to pack sand. There's a move afoot to try to get Amazon to abandon additional business out of Virginia too. Amazon's already big in it, Virginia, with their data centers. The AWS platform, three biggest data centers are in Virginia. So if this move afoot by this coalition of people is trying to push them out of Virginia works, again, fantastic. Plenty of states will say, me, we'll take this. We'll take the deal. I just think it's hilarious. I really, really do. Oh, here's the open letter. New Yorkers do not want to give up the 25,000 permanent jobs, 11,000 union construction and maintenance jobs, and $28 billion in new tax revenues that Amazon was prepared to bring to our state. A clear majority of New Yorkers support this project and were disappointed by your decision not to proceed. We understand that becoming home to the world's industry leader in e-commerce, logistics, and web services around be a tremendous boost for our state's technology industry, which is our fastest growing generator of new jobs. As representatives of a wide range of government businesses, labor, and community interests, we urge you to reconsider so that we can move forward together on and on and on. Then it says, Governor Cuomo will take personal responsibility for the state's approval, and Mayor de Blasio worked together with the governor to manage the community development process, including the workforce development, public education. So they are. So who signed this? This was signed by CEO of MasterCard, CEO of Modern Spaces, co-founder and CEO of Warby Parker, Queens Economic Development Committee, a steakhouse, Applied Sciences, Columbia University. I see some other names here, some big ones. JetBlue Airways Corporation CEO, president of New York University. Who else signed here? Just the list goes on. These are some big shots. I think we've got a Goldman Sachs. We got David Solomon, chairman and CEO of Goldman Sachs. There's a big name. It just goes on and on and on. So there's a probably how many people, how many big shots? 20, about 80 people. I wonder if any of those people voted for that new representative. Anyway, so I find this to be very entertaining. Very, very entertaining. All right, finally tonight, folks, and we'll get out of here, is Amazon Project Zero will let brands remove counterfeit listings of their products. And this is a long time coming. Lots of counterfeit stuff on Amazon. And the brands are going through and cleaning up their own stuff because Amazon just can't get through it all. So Project Zero, a new initiative by Amazon and being very successful by the companies that had piloted it. So very, very cool. All right, here's the deal. No shows for the next week. I'm going to be we're going to be off. And so I will be in Florida and all next week. And then I'll be flying back on Sunday. So there will be two shows off. So I want to encourage you to make sure you listen to the other shows here on the network. Listen to GNC Weekend Review, The Gazette Professor, there's the new media show. There's some good options there for you. And of course, the Tech Podcast Network continues to have some great shows as well. So lots of content for you to consume while I'm out. Definitely appreciate your patience. And as I'm, you know, heading into the 15th anniversary of the show, I definitely want to just again remind everyone, thank you for supporting and sustaining the show and the support of the sponsors. It's my pleasure to bring you the content and give you my take on the news and have a little fun doing it. And have a little soapbox time from time to time. And definitely appreciate your responses to your commentary back to me is greatly appreciated. But lots going on. And I'll be back with you here a week from Monday. So everyone be safe, be good. Just watch stuff on Facebook and stuff. I'll be talking a lot about what we're doing. And but it's been my pleasure bringing the show tonight. And again, thank you for tuning in. And we'll see you here shortly on the Geek News Central podcast. Everyone take care. Aloha.